Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw, I want you to be on the show with me today or tomorrow or whenever you can. But I've got a really great show for you today. Frank Nabilo, CBS Sports, is going to be with us. Pate Clarson, Sports Information Director at Troon Hawaii. Dan Husek, he's the Superintendent of the Year. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC Sports and Golf Channel, joins us. But first, I know you want to know the tee times. The Lost Boys, they're still lost, and they're playing at Makalei. If you'd like to play Makalei, there's an 8:36, a 9:16, and a 10 o'clock. And there's an 8:30 at Volcano, where it's only 54 degrees. Work up a sweat there, if you can. There's also a 9:24 and a 10:48. Yeah, and Lost Boys, may you hit the sweet spot every time, so you don't have to go looking for your golf balls. Okay, Point Pu, 9:40, 12:10, 1 p.m., Doctors on Call. They're out on the golf course. And the Southside Men's Club, right on, good morning, and thank you so much. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Kauai Lagoons has a 9 o'clock and a 10:08. And guess what? The Dallas Cheerleaders in golf attire. They're on the course. And we've got at Pearl Country Club an 8:48 for you, a 9:16, an 11:40. Hawaii Kai has a 10:10, an 11:28. Turtle Bay has a 9:16, a 10:42, an 11:08. And the Wind Warriors are on the golf course. Yes, they're playing in breezes. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 8:30, 9:36, 10:28. The Eva Beach Golf Course, 8:58, 10:06, 11:32. Bayview has an 8:40, 9:14, 11 o'clock. And on Maui at Wailea, there is a 10:36 and an 11:52 on the Gold Course, where the San Francisco Bean Counters are not playing. No, they're on the Emerald Course. At 10:10, there's an opening, 11:20 and 12:30, if you'd like to be in the San Francisco Bean Counters organization. You might want to join up. The Royal Traders are on the golf course, the Emerald Course at Wailea. There's also a 10:10, an 11:20, and a 12:30 if you'd like to play a round of golf there. Blue Course has a 9 o'clock, a 10:40, an 11:58. And at Maui Nui, we have an 8:42 and a 9:12 for you to enjoy. What about the weather forecast? Isolated showers after noon. Widespread haze. She erupted again. Then she stopped. She's just sending it out. A little fog for us. But mostly sunny, high near 80, light variable winds, and a chance of precipitation as low as 20%. Widespread haze continues tonight. Mostly clear skies, the low about 63, calm winds. And then tomorrow, if you're going out, isolated showers, widespread haze, mostly sunny, high near 80, light northeasterly winds. Yes, northeasterly winds becoming easterlies. Oh, about 6 to 10 miles per hour in the morning, and the chance of a little precipitation, 20%. All right, we're going to come back right after this. Frank Nabilo, Pate Clarson, Dan Husek, Mark Rolfing kicks off the Golf Club Radio Show this Saturday morning, February 22nd, 2025.
The Golf Club is brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. We put power at your fingertips. The Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, businesses, and hotels since 1939. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional at the Wailea Golf Academy. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf, the gift that lasts forever.
And now, Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Yes, he's commentator and analyst, Kapalua Golf Marketing Director, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, member of the DePauw University Hall of Fame. You can find him at golfhawaii.com, host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure. and great ratings on CBS. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark Rolfing.
Yeah, it's really good to see you, Danielle. I'm getting ready to pack up and head to the mainland here where I work five in the next 6 weeks. But I'm going with a little bit more of a positive attitude than I had a month or so ago, because people have been tuning in to watch golf. And when you talk to Frank, I'm sure he'll tell you a little bit about it. But the CBS ratings, particularly for L.A., were absolutely fantastic. Phoenix was good. They've done really well. Pebble Beach did really well. So I think there's a positive turn going on right now in the game a little bit.
Oh, boy. And that is such welcome news, because it's all been so, you know, there's a LIV versus PGA Tour. There's what's going on with this and that. And, you know, speeding up the pace of play because it's so boring. Nobody's watching anymore. And now you're telling me that people are watching. What do you think's changed?
Well, I think people are starting to get a sense that the players are invested in trying to make some kind of a deal. The fans are only really going to care when they know the players care. And it's clear now that, especially after these last couple of meetings with President Trump, Tiger Woods and Adam Scott and Jay Monahan and everybody are serious about making the deal. I would not expect anything other than some sort of an announcement by the players. I think you will hear it. Now, whether or not there's any unification going on in the next month or so, it's hard to really say. I've heard a couple of people are talking about the fact that they are thinking that maybe there's a chance a LIV player could play in the players as soon as that. Now, there is a LIV tournament that week. But the reality is we need one tour. Jay Monahan is saying it. It's going to be really hard for Yasser Al-Rumayyan, the head of LIV, to give up his dream because it meant so much to him. But there's a place in the game for a few LIV tournaments, but not a LIV tour.
I like it. Now, what was his dream? Taking
his
over
dream
golf?
His dream was to expand the global game and make it a worldwide game, particularly where Saudi Arabia, is involved with other businesses. And Saudi Arabia has this public investment fund that's worth over, $900 billion. It's just got piles and piles of money. And he feels like it's a good way to, I think, diversify the economy in Saudi Arabia and secure some kind of a future for them. I don't know. I don't like the source of the money at all, but having said that, they've got the money, and he who has the gold can make the rules.
Well, now that's well said, but I respect where he's coming from. It's like it's his version of growing the game and getting more people involved in the game, making it a global game, which it really already is, but I suppose he wanted to do it on a greater Saudi level, and yet it's tearing things apart and it's not working, and the players can see that. It's really interesting. I thought to myself, why don't they have like tournaments where LIV Golf goes up against the PGA Tour? They have tournaments against each other as individual foes. But then their formats are so different. You know, there's the weird way LIV does the way they do, staggered starts and all that stuff, and the PGA Tour. But maybe if the PGA Tour played against LIV, they'd have to play those staggered starts, and then vice versa for on the PGA Tour. I know it's all very convoluted, but at least it would get them playing, and we'd hear the names that we're missing so much.
Yeah, I think if you take a look around the world and where the opportunity is for LIV-type tournaments, there are certain areas where it really works well, Australia being the biggest example. They just had a LIV event down in Adelaide 2 weeks ago. It was highly successful, way more successful than even the Australian Open or the Australian Masters, which used to be big tournaments in the world of golf. So I could see LIV saying, you know what, we are really good in Australia. Why don't you kind of give us that territory? and let's mine that sort of gold mine down there. And maybe you have a series of two or three live style events. The Australians love drinking their beer and they love partying and love a hole in one by Patrick Reed on that hole. Okay, go ahead and do it. It's kind of like a Phoenix Open every week.
Yeah.
But live seems to work well in Australia. They should go to places like that. But yet they should do it as part of a one tour, global tour, not in competition with the PGA Tour, because the competition is just going to keep running up the costs and it's going to be unsustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, what did Rory say, Rory McIlroy, when, you know, he's all grins, and I guess his attitude changed, of course, when his game got better. And it was interesting to say, you know, I've got all this money and I wouldn't have all this money if it weren't for Liv.
It's true. And think about Rory. I think the main reason Rory changed his mind is that he's starting to realize that he's a mortal golfer. I mean, he's only got a certain amount of tournaments left in his career, really. And it's probably another good 10 years worth. And if he wastes five of it arguing about who's playing in what tournaments where, it's going to be over for him. So I think there is a sense of urgency for Rory. And he said some things early on that he probably shouldn't have said, but I really now believe he thinks that the best thing is for reunification, and I think he's right.
Right on. I think it's perfect. Golf was supposed to make friendships, not make enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
This is interesting. You know, I had to look it up because when I was talking with Mark Rolfing in communicating about some of the things I wanted to talk about, you, Mark, brought up TGL. And I'm like, TGL? What league is that? You know, because I haven't followed it. TGL stands for Tomorrow's Golf League, which is a golf league created by Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, and Mike McCarley. The name reflects the focus on innovative and technology-infused golf experiences. And so tell us, how is SoFi a new golf league? What's going on here?
Well, it's an indoor league. They play on a simulator. And the key to the whole league is they made a major television deal with ESPN. That has been the problem with LIV. They haven't had a television component that's given them any kind of exposure, whereas TGL, even though it was an indoor league, immediately got on ESPN prime time, and the ratings have been great. It's 4 weeks into it now. They are matches that pair two teams against each other. There are six teams in the league. They've got almost all the star players. Scottie Scheffler is not in the league. But other than him, Tiger's in it, Rory's in it, Shoffley's in it. There's a lot of great high-profile players in it. And the thing that really has made it work, I believe, and this is the key to any tour, I don't care whether it's LPGA or Korn Ferry or PGA Tour, is you have to, as a fan, feel like the players really care about it. And the players that have been playing in this TGL have really shown that they care. It's been very exciting. It's short. You know, it takes 2 hours. It doesn't take 4 days, 72 holes, 6 hours a day. And that's what golf fans want now. They want something faster.
Yeah, you know, pace of play. Okay, and every shot is live. All the players are mic'd up. So you really can be, like, inside with them, get that feeling that you're on the course, even though it's not even on a golf course.
But think about this, Danielle. For the first time in history last year, here in America, we have about 28 million golfers, which is a lot. It's a very, very popular game, and we all love it. But for the first time in history in America this past year, more people played golf not on a golf course than actually played on a course. So the top golfs, the driving ranges, the top tracer ranges, the simulator golf and all that attracted more than half of the golfers, actually more than it played on an actual course. People just don't have the time. anymore for a number of reasons to play five hours of golf. They don't have the desire to be out there that long. And so anything that can be done to shorten it up, that's what baseball did. When they put the pitching count clock in 2 years ago, it changed the game dramatically. And I think if golf can shorten its game up a little bit, it's going to attract a totally new audience. There'll still be room for major championships and other big tournaments, but we need to have something that's consumed faster.
Interesting. Now, what about a shot clock for, speeding up the pace of play?
Well, here's the problem. If you have a game where there's two teams, one ball and one score, it's easy to have a shot clock.
Okay.
That's what basketball is. That's what baseball is. That's what football is. But in golf, today at the Mexico Open, there's going to be, 100 golfers, 100 balls, 100 scores. So you would need 100 shot clocks. Well, not actually that many. You would need however many groups there are.
Yeah,
there would have to be a shot clock with each group. And the logistics of, trying to pull that off and man it and pay for it, all that, I think would be extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure there's a shot clock in the future for golf. But I do think all of this is going to put pressure on both the men's and women's game to speed up. They have got to speed this thing up.
And Colin Morikawa really got upset because, he says, if you're going to ban aim point, because aim point is a great way for you to figure out your next shot, but it does consume time. And you'd think at the level that these guys are playing that they'd already have, all of this sort of stuff figured out and wouldn't count on it like an amateur might. And I'm talking about a recreational kind of golfer where they can really use aim point to make their game better. But Colin got upset and said, if you're going to ban aim point, then long putters should be banned. If you're going to ban aim point because you say it slows down pace of play, there's a lot of other things you could ban. I don't know. I don't think.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem with aim point. The pace of play issue in professional golf is because the players are just not beginning their pre-shot routine soon enough. They wait until the shot is struck by their playing partner to then begin their process, and that's too late. They could be getting yardages. They could be figuring out what their lie looks like. They could be doing a lot of things and getting prepared for when it's their turn to play. They don't do it. Now, on the green, you cannot do that with aim point. You can't start until the other player is done, because the theory of aim point is that you're tromping around with your feet on the ground, close to the hole, and you can't be doing that while another guy's putting. So I don't see a solution to that. I'm in the camp of trying to at least discourage aim point. I like sort of a middle ground here. I think Aim Point Express, which is a modified version, a shortened version of it, is probably workable. But the real key is going to be just creating some scenario where the players only have a set amount of time to play every shot during a round. And once they get behind that time, they start getting warned, and actually penalties begin to apply fairly soon into the round. The problem is not that we don't enforce it. It's just that we don't enforce it with any kind of substance.
Yeah.
All the players get put on the clock, but you never see strokes assessed.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so what's the I? So what if I'm on the clock? Nothing happens anyway. So let it run down.
Yeah, really.
There's one young man that I really want to talk about, because this is all going on. It's the 2025 Mexico Open. Aldrich Potgieter, and he's from South Africa. He's already the youngest player to win on the Korn Ferry Tour, and he's going for the win this weekend. Shot a 61, 10 under, he tied the course record. It was he didn't beat it. But he's interesting to watch. He's like 20-something?
Yeah, he's 20 years old. He was the youngest, as you said, when he won in January of 2024 on the Korn Ferry Tour. He is one of the longest hitters of the golf ball, Danielle, that I have ever seen. And I believe by the end of this year, you're going to start seeing stats from him that show him as the longest hitter on the PGA Tour. He had a driver off the deck yesterday on one hole that I saw. You know, he had a driver on like a 650-yard par five. He is really good. Now, having said that, he's got himself a four-shot lead, but it's not that much. It sounds like a huge lead. I don't know. This is going to be a tough weekend for him to hang on. He's got some quality players right behind him. Okay. And Steven Yeager and Akshay Bhatia, who I just absolutely love. And you got to remember, too, when you shoot 61, going out the next day and backing it up with another good round is really hard to do. So he could win this tournament. I don't expect his lead to be as big as four by the end of today, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's good to see, you know, and he's so down to earth. I love what he said when he said it's just a gift from God. I've definitely been given a talent. And, you know, for him to recognize that he's got something there and to be so down to earth and just true to form. He's just a real joy. You know, to listen
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the game is really skewing younger on the men's side, particularly Danielle. If you take a look at him, he's 3 years older than another kid that made the cut by the name of Blades Brown.
Wow.
Who was 17 years old. And more of these international players that we're seeing are coming in really young. I think that's one of the biggest changes you're going to see in men's golf over the next sort of decade is you're going to see teenagers winning PGA Tour events.
Wow. It's because of, you know, kids playing golf at young ages.
That's right. Yeah.
I have to ask you in closing, Century, you know, the Century. How much longer are negotiations? Are they going to stay with us? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I've heard a lot, and we're going to have a big series of meetings at the Players' Championship here in a couple weeks. Century has an agreement with the PGA Tour that runs through 2035. So their title sponsorship is set.
The only thing
that isn't really set is their location and their date on the schedule.
Uh-huh.
And I think given all that's going on with LIV Golf, there is some uncertainty there. But I think the entire PGA Tour schedule 5 years from now will look totally different than what you're seeing. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit to see Century played in a different week than it is on the PGA Tour right now. If you think about it, the PGA Tour schedule is set. The Masters is never going to change their date, and neither is the British Open. So every tournament in the spring and summer is pretty close to being set long-term as to when they're going to play. It's the early part of the year and the later part of the year that's going to have some flexibility. And right now, most of the players are going not after the holiday, but right after Century. Most of them are going to the Middle East because that's the only time of the year you can play in Saudi Arabia. And as you know, he who has the gold has the rules, makes the rules. And they may well say, look, we're going to play in Saudi Arabia in January, and we're going to play in Hawaii in February. I could see something like that happening.
Interesting. See, you're so full of insight. You know, thanks so much, Mark Rolfing. You wouldn't happen to have time in the next 6 weeks to be on the show again?
I will do it. Yeah, I'll be in Connecticut this coming week. But then the 2 weeks after, I'm at the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill, and I'm at the Players' Championship. So maybe you want to talk to me at Saturday of Players' Championship.
Yay.
That might be a good time to tell you what's going on.
Right on. And you've got it. Thank you. I've got it. Yay. Mark Rolfing.
All right. Take care, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back right after this, and it is Dan Husick, Director of Golf Maintenance, Aloha Section PGA Superintendent of the Year. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Hey, it's Aloha Power's Honda Generator Sale. We have specials in every size and $200 off on the Honda EU 2200 and a free extended warranty that's worth another $250. Weed it, whack it, mow it, and blow it, and keep your lights on and your equipment running, while unfortunately others might be in the dark. Honda generators, you want them, and we've got them today. And we ship off-island. New shipments arrive daily. We're open Monday through Saturday. And neighbor islands, we ship to you. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu, that's Aloha Power Equipment.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Dan Husick, Four Seasons Hualalai Director, Golf Maintenance, and the Aloha Section PGA Superintendent of the Year. Congratulations, Dan. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
You are Husick.
Husick, got it. So what do you think that you do that sets you apart from all the others that made you the superintendent of the year?
Well, it's special to be recognized like that, and we have so many talented superintendents within the section, so I don't know if I'm special in any way, but hosting a First Green program, helping set up an inaugural scholarship in research golf tournament, being involved with the EPA pilot project, a round table this year, were some of the things that helped me get recognized.
Wow. I had no idea. How were you involved in the EPA?
Just being past president of the association, I was invited to this, and the EPA is looking at how they can recertify relabel pesticides based on the Endangered Species Act.
Wow.
Ensuring that we're doing what's right for the environment.
Oh, I like this. That's and what about First Green Program?
So the First Green Program is such a special program. We invite a school to the golf course. We've had middle-aged students. We've had high school students. And we talk about the STEAM, the science, technology, engineering, arts, and math associated with maintaining a golf course. So we'll set up different stations, talk about water conservation. We'll talk about soils. We'll talk about math that superintendents use. We talk about tools for the superintendent. And then we actually let them swing a golf club and have the pros teach them a little bit about the golf swing.
Wow.
So that's the First Green program is very special.
And who started it?
So this was a grassroots program started in the mainland. It started in Washington State. The Golf Course Superintendents Association of America has picked up and started to push it out to all the states. I think they've got one or two states left that have not hosted a first screen program.
Wow. So you're teaching about what exactly? I'm looking at STEAM, S-T-E-A-M, I'm assuming, right?
Correct. That's correct. So, again, one of the stations will what's so nice, it can be customized to any golf course. So some golf courses may have a stream coming through it, and they may identify a species that are living in the stream. What we do is you know, we'll have tools for the superintendent. So we'll talk about how mowers, you know, we're asking a green that's mowed at less than a tenth of an inch height of cut to photosynthesize, and how some of the things that we do allow us to maintain the green. Water conservation. So on our golf course here at Walleye, each golf course has about 3,000 irrigation heads. And how the irrigation system is linked into a computer that measures evapotranspiration on a daily basis. So we're using ET rates, how much the grass actually uses to water at night. We're not watering based on minutes, but rather what the science dictates.
Yeah.
So it's a really great way to expose kids to golf even.
Yeah, to golf and just to nature and to being careful with water and not overwatering, because the ground and the plant doesn't need it. It's already gotten everything it can get, and after that, it's just waste. But you wouldn't know that if it weren't for the system that's been set up, the computer system that's been set up to be able to measure all of that. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. We're trying to do the best with resources that we can to make sure golf is sustainable and playable.
Yeah. Wow. I have to ask this question. What is the one thing that bugs you the most about golfers and the way they leave the hole?
I would say the one thing that bothers me most about golfers is not understanding what traffic can do. So driving a golf cart next to the green impacts the playability of the golf course for everyone next to you. So I always get a kick out of it and think, you know, golf is a sport, and it should be an active sport. It's okay to walk from the cart path to the green.
Aha, uh-huh. Gotcha. Okay, so in other words, a lot of people aren't bothering to stop their cart on the cart path. They want to go all the way down so they can just get out of the cart and then hit from right there.
Right next to the tee or right next to the green, parking the cart.
that would be an issue. All the track marks that are left behind doesn't help the guys either who are going to be playing next.
Yeah, so the traffic compaction part of those golf carts is underrated as a management as something we have to manage.
Yeah, yeah, it's called being considerate of others.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, we teach that to children. Sometimes when we get older, we forget. Okay, so I want us all to remember, you know, keep your golf cart on the cart path. So that,
there you go.
Yeah, and just, you know, jump off, grab your club, and enjoy the moment, and feel the grass under your feet. So, you know, what would you like golfers to remember to do? Repairing divots, raking bunkers, what have you?
Well, it goes right back to what you just said, being considerate of others. You know, if you make a ball mark, if you can repair it to where the golfer behind you can putt over it, you've done your you've left the course as it should be. You know, same with a divot. Just if you're repairing that divot so that the person behind you can play without it impacting their round, you've done the right thing.
Fantastic. Sometimes people are not, you know, they've got the tool, but they don't know how to use it. And it's just a real gentle movement, isn't it? Can you kind of describe that?
So I get asked this question a lot, and instead of me trying to get too technical with I just say the same thing again and again. If you can make that ball mark, you can use that divot tool to where somebody else can putt over what you just fixed.
Okay.
You did it the right way.
Okay. Okay, so practice makes perfect, you know, but you've got to be,
there you go.
You know, and yeah, and you've got, but you got to be gentle with the tool, you know, so you're just kind of pushing up real gently so that, you know, whatever went down just comes back up and
just comes back up and then press it down with the butter.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's great. You're keeping the equipment out of the bunkers, so don't throw the rakes around. Some people just, you know, poof, and it just doesn't look pretty when you get there yourself.
Exactly. You know, maintenance crews every morning were out raking bunkers and prepping them for the day. And it just takes one person to decide I'm not going to rake my mess, and it ruins the round for everybody else behind them.
Then they've got to come and make it pretty. Excuse us while we fix this up after the. Person behind you. Now, why is it important to fill divots with sand on the fairway? I think that's really confusing for people. Sand?
So in Hawaii, we have warm season grass types that will grow with rhizomes and stolons very, very aggressively. So they will fill in that sand pretty quickly.
Okay.
Some cool season grasses in the mainland, it's better to replace the divot and have it regrow that way. For Hawaii, most of the time, if you try to replace that divot, it will dry. We're not going to be watering enough for that divot to survive. It will dry out and die out. So in Hawaii, when you replace that divot with sand, the fairway divot with sand, the grass will grow into that pretty aggressively.
That's beautifully said. I mean, you've got a clod. Your divot becomes a clod if you put it back on the hole after you've...
Yeah, it'll dry out. Again, we're using water as conservatively as we possibly can, so we're not going to overwater to try to keep that divot alive.
Right. But putting the sand, the grass will do by natural, with what you're giving it, it'll grow back. And bingo.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. God, that makes sense. up in Hualalai, don't you have a little bit more heat than most golf courses? Is that a challenge for you folks?
That we are in a dry desert at Hualalai, so we'll get 6 to 8 inches of rain a year. And I think we got 4 inches 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So what's very nice about Hualalai is the amount of sunshine that we get. And our grass now is paspalum. Paspalum loves the sunshine. So it makes for a wonderful growing a place to grow grass.
Well, yay. Now, you know, I've got to say, it's so important for us to recognize that, first of all, golf is a wonderful pastime. You get to spend time with your friends. You get to meet new people, make new friends, and you get to be in nature and just feel that it's so, you know, standing sometimes just under a tree and getting the green energy with the sun, it's uplifting, and it's good for the body. There's so many reasons why golf is such a wonderful sport. You don't have to be great at it to go and play, and then to see how well you take care of things and how conservative you are in your attitude about, you know, the water, and knowing that our resources are limited and that a good job is being done by people like you. If a child were interested, I shouldn't say child, a young adult were interested in getting into your profession, how would they go about that?
So there are specific programs that gear towards turf. Penn State's a popular one. Ohio State's a popular one. I myself went to Southern Illinois University at Carbondale and studied plant and soil science. So I have a bachelor's in plant and soil science. And, you know, I love the game of golf. Knew I wasn't good enough to be a pro and decided this was a nice option to be part of the game.
You're also in charge.
Yeah.
And you get to go out first in the morning and be on the golf course. Do you ever go out and play just, you know, in the morning before everybody else gets there?
I don't. Most superintendents don't, because we know that that's work time for us is the morning time. So it's interesting to talk to other superintendents where we may travel and go play golf, and we'll laugh because, man, when's the last time you played golf in the morning? Because our rounds are almost strictly in the afternoons.
Okay. Mornings are nice, though, aren't they?
Oh, it's so nice to be out in the morning on a golf course, yes.
Yeah, it's quiet. What kind of, Mother Nature animals, creatures are on the golf course at Hualalai?
So, again, being in a dry desert, there is not much around except out off of the golf course, there's not much around except old lava rock. So we don't get a lot of creatures. You know, we'll get the birds, and then we have some ankylosing ponds that are down by the ocean that are maintained by our Natural Resources Department.
Oh,
so we have fish and birds that exist in that area.
You have, can you give me just a little bit of information about that Natural Resources Department?
I wish I had a better definition lined up, but we have a team of, I believe, five or six that maintain, they do many things. They grow oysters, they grow shrimp, they have a moy program. So they'll maintain these ankylosing ponds. They also engage with education, with students and with guests of the hotel. And they do a wonderful job at education and maintaining the environment.
Well, I want to take, time off and have a vacation learning stuff. That's really cool. I'm Dan Husick, Four Seasons Hualalai Director, Golf Maintenance, Aloha Section, PGA Superintendent of the Year. It's so nice meeting you. Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. And congratulations, and thank you for all you do. Aloha.
Thank you.
Aloha. Aloha. All right. We've got Pate Clarkson coming up next, Sports Information Director, Troon Hawaii, Ka'anapali Golf Courses. You know, I never thought that I'd see the day where we had a tie and both teams, golf teams, won in a tie after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamila Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliance signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 coach certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Pate Clarkson, Sports Information Director, Troon Hawaii Ka'anapali Golf Courses. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. It's wonderful to be with you.
Thank you. And I was so surprised. The 48th annual John A. Burns Intercollegiate, which was just played February 13th through the 15th, hosted by the University of Hawaii men's team, Rainbow Warriors, a team competition, an individual competition. And how often do we hear about a golf tournament that ends in a tie, as well as an individual title that ends in a tie?
Not that often. In fact, it's kind of unique to Hawaii in the sense that so many teams need to quickly get out of there to shower, pack up, and catch a late afternoon or a red-eye flight to the mainland that head coach Scott Simpson has actually put into the rules that unless there's some really extenuating circumstances, teams and or individuals, if they happen to tie, will be crowned as co-champions.
Aha! Uh-huh. I'm like... So this has a lot to do with the needs of everyone outside of the actual tournament, like getting on the flight and getting home, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what happened at the 48th annual John A. Burns Intercollegiate this past February 13th through the 15th. It was UNLV and Utah. Tell us a little bit about that. We weren't there.
For those unfamiliar with this historic event, as Danielle has pointed out, this was the 48th event. The first one took place in 1977, named in honor of Hawaii's former governor, John Burns, who was really a champion of bringing high-profile sports and entertainment events to the islands. Another example that everyone knows of is his planning and construction with Aloha Stadium. He thought it could help UH football bring the Pro Bowl and concerts to the island. So the overarching goal of this event is to bring many of America's top-ranked players annually together to compete in Hawaii, and that's what the Burns really excels at doing. Some notable players over the years have included Tiger Woods, Nota Begay, Bo Van Pelt, Ryan Moore, and many others. So a lot of great history that continues to be built upon year after year, and 2025 was no exception. This year, 14 of the 17 teams that arrived on Kauai were in the top 100 of Division I men's college golf. And after 3 days of great competition, as you noted, in a kind of distinct ending, Utah and UNLV were crowned as co-champs. What was special about this year is Utah had held the lead in both the first and second rounds of this three-day event. However, they really almost let everything slip away. UNLV, coming into the final round, had erased a six-shot deficit. They came out red hot. And then to counter, UNLV had to make four clutch birdies at the very end, including one on the final hole, just to regain a share of the lead that they had lost.
Wow.
So UNLV and Utah had tied at 22-under. So they ended up being crowned as co-champs. And interestingly, both Utah and UNLV's head coaches both played collegiate golf, and they're fierce competitors. So Utah's coach, Garrett, he is the head coach of his alma mater. UNLV's John Paul, he actually was on the NCAA championship team, their runner-up at Texas. So both guys, though they had wanted a playoff, they agreed that it was the best overall outcome for all parties involved.
Oh, that's fantastic, because it was really, even though it came out of tie, it was hard fought.
Absolutely. It was hard fought. It was dramatic. It gave fans and attendants great excitement.
Yeah.
It gave the players a lot of adrenaline back and forth, lead changes in the final round. So it was all good. And then, in third place was Santa Clara, who continues to be on the up and up year after year. Long Beach State had finished in fourth, and then there was a three-way tie for fifth, which included San Diego State, Illinois, and Texas A&M. So a lot of big names that had come to the islands.
Yeah, I think, Coach, is it Jean-Paul Hubert, the UNLV men's golf coach?
Exactly.
Yeah, he said, this tournament's thrilling finish exemplifies why we all love and play college athletics. I mean, it's fantastic.
I don't think I could have said it better myself.
I'm just, you know, he's just wonderful. That was just having the kids who are now young adults so engaged and competing in addition to their, you know, working on their scholars. They are scholars and they're athletes at the same time. That always thrills me to see young people having so much to do and being so committed to what they're doing. It's special.
It really is. And the cool thing about golf, as you know, in high school and college, is not only is it a team competition, but it's an individual competition. So you're playing for not only your team and your university, but also individually, trying to make a mark up the PGA Tour University rankings and those in college golf. So that adds yet another element of drama to the competition.
Now, this is a men's tournament. Do you have, are there women's tournaments that are coming?
There are, in fact. The University of Hawaii's premier women's tournament, the Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational, we're going to move that from Oahu over to Kauai, and we're going to play it, or excuse me, at Kaanapali. We're going to play that at Royal Kaanapali. So what's really cool about that is this will be the 39th edition of the event from March 24 to 26. This year we're going to have 17 women's collegiate teams that are going to play.
17? Wow, cool.
17. That's a big field. It includes Arkansas State, BYU, Cal Poly, Denver, Fresno State, Gonzaga, Hawaii, the host university, Mercer, Montana State, Oregon State, Sacramento State, San Diego State, Sam Houston State, Seattle, UC Davis, UC Riverside, and Washington. So a wonderful field, a diverse group of players and teams from all across the country. And in addition, there's going to be a lot of highly ranked individuals. Some to note, Vivian Liu from Washington, she's 20th in America, and Grace Jin from Sam Houston State, who's just outside of the top 50. So it should be really thrilling in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are some strong teams coming in. That's the Donis Thompson Invitational, Dr. Donis Thompson Invitational, March 24th through the 26th. And which golf course is that being played on again?
This is going to be played at Royal Kaanapali on the west side of Maui. Hawaii head coach Julie Brooks, she'll be bringing her team on island. Some of her notable players that you may have heard of over the years, Kelly Yamene from Iolani. She previously played at Hawaii Pacific. Malim Krauss, a junior from Germany. Wendy Song, a junior from Taiwan. So a really great field. This will be a morning shotgun start. Attendance is free for anyone who'd like to attend. We have parking on site at Kaanapali. And if you get there a little bit late, no worries. We have overflow parking just down the street for a small fee at Whalers Village.
Awesome. So what is the challenge of this golf course? What's unique about it that people find difficult?
As Arnold Palmer has famously quoted, the 18th hole on the Royal course at Kaanapali is one of the hardest and his favorite closing holes in all of golf, particularly with the morning shotgun start as you transition into the afternoon and the trades pick up, in addition to quick greens. Anything 100 yards in is really no gimme. I mean, you got to really ensure you get your ball up and down as quick as possible, because as those trades continue to build in the afternoon, it only becomes more challenging.
Arnie.
Not for the faint of heart. No.
Of course not. And he's always smiling.
He always is.
Now, what about for people who aren't, like, you know, always working at their game because they're working? Do you have a ladies golf tournament coming up, I think?
We do. If you're inspired by the female golfers coming to Kanapali next month and you'd like to take a couple swings yourself, Kanapali now is hosting on Thursday nights two-person nine-hole best ball scrambles. They're only $25 a person, and it's open to everyone. And it's really a great way just to come out and have fun in a relaxed setting on the sister course at Kanapali, the Kai course. So all you need to do is call the pro shop. They'll put your name on the tee sheet. You can either sign up as an individual, and they'll pair you up, or you can sign up as a team. So, again, that's Thursdays on the Kai course, just $25. And tee times usually start around 4 o'clock, so if you can dip out from work a bit early, we'd love to have you.
Awesome. That sounds like fun. And First tee, we're going to talk about recruiting volunteer coaches, but First tee, upcoming offerings for Keiki. Talk about that, please.
As Mark Rolfing, you know, proudly announced a couple weeks ago, the First tee is going to slowly but surely transition more firepower in their offices over to the west side of Maui, and Kanapali is going to play a big role in that. So as part of that, right now, they're actually in the process of registering children for the upcoming four-week sessions. They're usually on Tuesdays if your child is between 7 and 9 years old, and they're on a little bit later that day for 10 to 15-year-olds. So 7 to 9 starts at 4 o'clock. If your child is between 10 to 15, it's at 5:15. It's just $60 a session. And this is important because not only are you learning the game of golf, you're learning life skills that the First tee has become so well-known for over the years. So it's a wonderful, inclusive environment. It gets the kids active, it gets them outside, it teaches them many important lessons, and we're big fans of the program.
Yeah, me too. what are family rates? Do you have family rates?
We have rates of just $60 per child, but in addition to that, if you are an adult that want to bring your child out, or you can be an auntie, an uncle, a grandparent, it doesn't matter. Kanapali has a great mix of kind of inclusive programming for families, and those are reflected in junior rates all day. So you can play the Kai course for as little as $25. Remember, this just hosted the Girls Golf State Championships in 2022. Or you can play the Royal course for just $45. Wow. A former host of numerous Skins games, PGA Tour Champions events, Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, the list goes on and on. So it's a great deal, and you know, Kanapali feels that it's the least we can do to give back to the family and the children and the community.
Fantastic. Yeah, when you said $25, I was like, wow, really? That's really a bargain. That's fantastic. And in addition to the teaching, you know, teaching the different things that First Tee brings to the table, in addition to the game of golf, as you mentioned, there are life choices that we make, like we're going to be friendly or we're going to start an argument. Yeah, it teaches kids how to kind of really behave and work together. I just love First Tee. You're also looking for recruiting volunteer coaches.
That is correct. As Mark had pointed out, the First Tee of Hawaii is always in need of coaches who are willing to donate their time to help raise the next generation of players. So we would welcome any and all volunteers. They're welcome to call the Kanapali Pro Shop or get in touch directly with the First Tee of Hawaii, and we can get them teed up at the great program that will benefit all parties involved.
You don't happen to have a phone number, do you? I missed the phone number Mark Rolfing gave out.
If you can just go online and look up Kanapali Golf Courses and give the pro shop a call, we'll be glad to steer those folks in the right direction.
Awesome. Pate, thank you so much. I didn't mean to spring that on you, but it just like I wasn't writing fast enough to get the phone number. Pate Clarkson, Sports Information Director, Truun Hawaii Kanapali Golf Courses. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Danielle. We love your continued support of junior golf in the islands and look forward to speaking again soon.
Yeah, we will. Aloha.
Aloha.
Going to come back. Frank Nobilo, golf analyst, CBS Sports, is with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club, KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
It is Aloha Power's Honda Generator Sale, and we've got specials in every size. You get $200 off on the Honda EU 2200. In addition to that $200 off, you get the free extended warranty, and that's worth another $250. It doesn't matter what you need to do, whether you need to weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, that's everything you can find at Aloha Power Equipment. I mean, Aloha Power's got it all. Keep your lights on with the Honda generator that is on sale. Keeps your equipment running. And Honda generators, yeah, you want them? We've got them today. We'll ship off island. New shipments come into Oahu daily. And they're open Monday through Saturday. So the only day they take off is Sunday. So you can be inside with Aloha Power, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station. Also in Waipahu. Now, on Farrington Highway, it's Waipahu Depot Street. And then you'll see this gigantic sign. It says Aloha Power Equipment. But it's on, let's say if you're going Eva Bound, it's on the other side. You've got to make a U-turn, make the right turn, get into Aloha Power Equipment. You'll find it all right there. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458, and have more fun playing golf.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, and we have two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay that we want to give away to the ninth caller calling in. And let me see, Nani, 808-545, what number? 1111? That's the number we want to give out? Okay. Two rounds of golf for the ninth caller, 808-545. 1111. Yeah. You better let your fingers do the walking. Frank Navolo, golf analyst, CBS Sports. It is so good to have you in the clubhouse. Hi, Frank.
Aloha. Nice to be back on the show.
Yeah. I'm just having a rocking good time. Now, you were a professional golfer. You won 14 tournaments worldwide. CBS analyst, on-course reporter, two-time President's Cup international team assistant captain, member of the New Zealand Golf Hall of Fame, founder of the Nabolo Foundation, raising money to improve the lives of young people by providing support, by setting up reading and math tutoring, preparing kids for lifelong success. And you've got a really special event that happens every year. It was, of course, the 2024 Lend a Hand Golf Day. You raised $250,000.
Might have been a little bit more than that, Daniel. Yeah, no, we're very proud. We're into our, I think it's 22nd or 23rd year now.
Wow.
So my wife does, as I've always said, she does, it's a labor of love for her. But yeah, we're very proud of it. And I think it was closer to, you know, $300,000.
Wow.
We keep it in-house. I don't have sort of pros that I'm playing to play. If anybody wants to come and help, you know, from a professional point of view, then they're more than welcome. But we try and do things on a lighter budget so that we can use all the money rather than putting it somewhere else. So
yeah.
we're very, very proud. We're looking forward to what we can do in 2025.
Yeah. So with the money that you raised, 1,000 kids went shopping?
Yeah, that was mayhem. Once again, you know, you need people for things like that to happen. Target, which is about 20 minutes away from here, are nice enough to open their store. This year it was 5 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, last year before Christmas was 5 o'clock in the morning. So we had more than 300 volunteers. And what we like to do is have the parents wait outside, so it's all about the kids. And they're chaperoned with a cart. They have their every child is $125, and we find that experience is great for everybody. It's great for the chaperones, whether they be adults my age, younger, maybe teenagers, whatever the case may be. The kids that need help, they learn that there's other people in the world that are looking out for them. So I think it's sort of sends a good message in the community. And then hopefully when the kids reunite with their parents outside the shop, then they get to tell their story as well of their experience. And basically it's just trying to pay it forward.
Wow. And so each child gets $125 to spend on themselves, their friends, their family. And then the 2025 Lend a Hand Golf Day is set for Sunday the 16th and Monday the 17th of November this year. And if you want to get involved, why not? NobiloFoundation.com. That's NOBILO Foundation.com. This is terrific. I mean, it's like, it's your Santa Claus.
No, there's a lot of people that are Santa Claus. People that donate, yeah. I probably do the least amount of work, to be honest. It's, yeah, the amount of, you know, when I'm working during the course of the year, you mentioned reading and math. So we have, we call them Mustang Mentors. And they go in and they try and assist the school. But once again, it's more about community. It's trying to get people to trust people at a younger age. I think a lot of people live in fear now.
Yeah.
Around the world, that's it. So the more people can look and welcome and try and help and assist. And there's a lot of people that are prepared to do that. So it's selfishly, I benefit more from that, from seeing the goodness in a lot of people.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of them.
That is fantastic. You know, sometimes I ask myself, where did all the kindness go in the world?
Yeah.
And, you know...
And sometimes I don't see it on the PGA Tour these days. I shouldn't have said that, but hey, what the heck? Yeah. Yeah.
What the heck? Yes, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
The PGA Tour was so taken care of. It was like this little world that couldn't be penetrated. And then along came Liv, you know? Upset the entire apple cart, or did it? Do you think it was good to shake things up a bit?
I would say no initially. I don't fault the players, believe it or not, for going, because it's like any job. You know, if you work, whatever your industry, and somebody headhunts you, and it's a better job, whether it's better hours, your family, all those things. I can see why they did it, especially a lot of people that were in the twilight of their career. You know, golf's got more competitive, but it's really how it's trickled down and affected everything in the game. It's become a money grab in my opinion, and
yes.
in a lot of different levels.
Yes.
Just to play a round of golf now is incredibly expensive. The game on one side, the amateur side, is going through post-COVID, actually during COVID, really. It's going through a metamorphosis where I think the amateur game now is driving the game, not the professional game. Professional game has turned a lot of people off. That's the honest part of it. You know, ratings sometimes show that. But the general people that love the game just like to get outside. All the things that we've talked about before, it's healthy, it's social. You know, normally people plan threes and fours, things like that. So you get to meet people. You spend 4.5-5 hours sometimes with those. So I think it's good from a community point of view, and it's a great game. It's a game that you should never be able to master. And that's why it's lasted so long on so many different levels. But going back to your question, Liv has destabilized it. It has made it, from a professional point of view, like a lot of other sports, where it's bottom line first. And I think that's the sad part of the game. The PGA Tours try to adjust, reduce number of events that have cuts, that sort of changed the DNA of what I think made professional golf so great and why a lot of people used to watch it.
Used to.
Yeah, well, no, I think a lot of people are in two minds. When the athlete gets, I remember the movie that I think it was Robert De Niro was in called The Fan. It was a great movie. He picks up the baseball player in a taxi. And in the end, there's some profanity and he goes, I pay your wages.
Oh.
And I think sometimes we forget that. Even from a TV point of view, if people don't turn on, I don't have a job, right?
Right.
So I was told very early on by Rent Nagel, who sadly has passed away, a British broadcaster. He goes, we're invited into people's living room. You should never forget that. And I try not to. And I think a lot of people that have done the job for a long period of time, that's what they're trying to do. We're trying to bring a story. We're trying to bring the product. But if the product changes, and hey, don't get me wrong, we've got a lot of things we can improve in TV. I'm not sort of saying that we're angels by any stretch of the imagination. But we do look at that, and it's across the board. But TV is a team game. And you're just trying to promote the product in the best way you can. I think the product has changed considerably since Liv has come into it. And there's some things there that haven't been knocked out of the game because the players have now been put on a pedestal because they have a lot of power. And I think they it's important to remind people how they got into it, why the game is important on so many different levels. And I know the fan is used, but I think the fan is used as currency sometimes, rather than the fan really is important for the hospitality event. They shouldn't just be charged like wounded bulls for everything, whether it's tickets or whatever, whether it's having to pay for the product.
Wow. The money part I've been turned off by for a long time, months. It seems like years. And maybe it is years with Liv. When is this decision going to be made? What's going to happen? What do you see coming out of this that could be beneficial?
Well, apparently they're very close, I know that that's been said for a while. But meeting in the White House just the other day is a huge step forward. I think it doesn't necessarily mean I'm right either. If you look at the parameters, I think you get closer to the truth. For example, TGL, which just started off this year, which has a heavy investment from the PGA Tour. In some respects, if you want to be a little cynical but closer to the truth, you could say the PGA Tour is now embracing team golf. I know it's Mondays and Tuesdays, but I think in that respect, it's like a partial olive branch saying that if we can get a deal done, then Liv has to exist in some form or fashion. So I think the last time I spoke to you that we talked about, it's like trying to sell a house. I want to sell my house and I want X and you want to pay me less than X because you want to buy it. So in the end, if we do a deal, both of us are going to lose a little bit. Hopefully I'm going to make you pay a little bit more than what you want, but I'm probably not going to get the price that I wanted in the first place. That's a deal. And I think if we're realistic about Liv and the PGA Tour, there has to be some concessions. And so it means some people that went away and got large sums of money are going to be allowed to come back. And that's the only way forward.
Yeah.
And that will annoy some people that thought they were on the right side of this and didn't go. So, but in the end, it's the only way forward. If you dig your feet in the ground and bury your head in the sand, then nothing will ever get done. And I think this is where it comes back to the people that love the game. They really do. Our game's not big enough. So they do want to see the best players in the world compete on a more regular basis. Now, that it's not possible for that to be week in, week out. But it certainly has to happen. Players' Championship, for example, it's crazy that the top Liv players aren't there. If the Players' Championship, which is on in a few weeks, wants to tout itself as one of the biggest tournaments in the world, it has to have all the players.
Yes.
And it's not. So I think that's where a concession comes. And then I know they're called signature events now. Then those events are the same. They're going to have to allow some of those guys in. And eventually, in a few years' time, we'll hopefully forgotten about the last couple of years. And it'll be sad if we do, but because the game will still be playing for a lot of money. But I think we should somehow try and remember the pain that the person that loves the game has been put through. And they should hold me to that. They should hold the tour to that. I think we have a responsibility going forward to remember, you know, what we've gone through. But yeah, they have to be allowed back in to be to play some other tournaments. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, you can't sit and stew and want to be right. It, you know, it's not working.
We have correct. Yeah. You know, well said.
Yeah. Now, I sometimes say, I don't know where this thought came to me, but if there's going to be two, will there still be a PGA Tour and a LIV Tour, but being together as under one umbrella? They have such weird formats. You know, I mean, LIV has that format where you stagger starts and do this. How do they work all that out?
That's a great question. I think the easiest way is to say, in my opinion, if I was commissioner for a day, is they are different products, just like TGL, which, you know, opened up this year, is a different product. So if, you know, I grew up in New Zealand, so everywhere I went to a different place. So when I went to Australia to play professionally and then went to Asia or Europe. So you're always in someone else's backyard, and the game is played globally. But if I'm honest, every player that came from the Southern Hemisphere wanted to play the PGA Tour. That desire was always there. Doesn't mean the PGA Tour has to own all of world golf. So sadly, what's happened over the last 20 years is less and less players from my neck of the woods go back and support their own tour. Mm-hmm. So consequently, the Australasian Tour has suffered, the South African Tour has suffered, yeah. The Asian Tour has suffered,
yeah.
And the European Tour has suffered.
Uh-huh.
Because there's been less cross-pollination. So if LIV can fill that, then I think it is a good thing for golf from that point of view. As long, you know, the reason why players want to come to America is because it's easy to travel. You don't have to be showing your passport each and every week. You obviously play for more, up until LIV, you play for more money than all the other tournaments
right.
around the world.
Right.
So it was a great place to gravitate towards. It was the top of the pile, and also three major championships are in America. So it was the goal for every player. The problem, though, is as the tour got bigger and golfed more and more weeks of the year, it was harder for people to go back and play their respective home tours. I think that's one of the things that has to change, that will change. And in some respects, it'll be like a PGA and a PGB tour. You know, So you'll have probably less events, but they will be premier events, including the majors and the Players' Championship, maybe 8 or 9, you know, signature events, maybe throw in a couple of others. And then the other ones, they might sort of be in association with Korn Ferry or Europe or around the world. And I think that's where LIV comes in, because it's going to take some of the players and play like they did in Australia 2 weeks ago, or play in Asia, where they're desperate for the game as well. So I think there is a way that can be worked out that would be beneficial. But it just needs cooler heads, that's all, for that to prevail.
Why did the meeting in the White House make a difference?
It's home turf, isn't it? I remember going. Having a meeting at the White House is the ultimate, and this is a serious discussion.
Yeah.
And so that was good. You know, they've been across to Riyadh. I know that Jay Monahan's flying there several times and some other people. It was like, okay, you know, are we really going to do this? So I don't think you go to the White House just for a cup of tea.
No.
You know, it's like, we got to get this done. Yeah.
And, you become really small when you walk into the White House because...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to go and talk about Frank Nabilo for a second. Your best performance in 96 in a major, the Masters tournament, you finished fourth. That is a huge accomplishment. How does it feel when you go back to Augusta? The feelings that you have when you walk, it's so incredible. It's like walking into the White House. It's just Augusta National.
Well, it's mixed feelings, because 1996 was the last year when I was fully healthy. I got diagnosed with rheumatoid polyarthritis the very next year when I started to play in America. I'd finished, only Faldo and Norman had lower stroke averages in the majors in 96 than what I did. So I finished, I think, 3 top 10s and like 12th in the other major. So I wanted to come across, and I did, for 1997 because of how I'd played. So for me, 1996 was, I think I won three or four times around the world. And the Sarrazin World Open, which was in Atlanta, I think I won the Tournament Players Championship in Europe. So it was a great year where I felt healthy and I felt like, hey, this game is going to be great going forward for me selfishly. And then coming to America was, as I was saying before, that's the goal for everybody. And I remember it was pretty much this time of the year, I went down to the event that's actually going to be next week, which is the Cognizant, which used to be the Honda. And my wrist blew up, and I finished up the very next week going to the Mayo. And 4 days later, they gave me the diagnosis. And then it was just a case of trying to play. So 1996, yeah, I have great memories. After that, you know, it was different. The game, it meant more pain. And, yeah. And even when I stopped playing, I spent a year away from it before I started doing TV. So when I go back to Augusta now, to be honest, I almost don't remember I played. It's totally different.
Wow.
Yeah, totally different.
So wow. I just love being there. It feels so, my son is stationed.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
It is. And I hope he goes to at least, can one go visit? Probably not.
Well,
huh?
There's a back way. I was taken by a guy called Carl Schlips there, who had worked for CBS for years. And it was the first time I ever got to do Amen Corner.
Okay.
And there's like a peripheral road you can go around and, you know, with a golf cart. And so you get to go to places that I never even saw as a player and just how it all works. And so it was really intriguing to see a part of the event, for example, because I don't even look, you know, the tee green, right?
Right.
Just hit ball, you know, see ball, hit ball.
Sure.
And it's just so much bigger than that. And then you see people pay for, you can't run there, obviously, so you got to walk, but just to see everybody coming in and really enjoy the whole aspect of it, you know, from whether it's the price of a drink, because they don't gouge you for that. I never ever had a cheese and pimento sandwich. I didn't like the sound of that. I'd have their pork sandwich or something like that. But, but yeah, it's just, I think they look after their patrons,
yes,
as well, to be called, just, yes, just better than they are. They just do it right.
Yes.
And so it's one of golf's meccas. I think that and St. Andrews are just,
oh yes,
two, you know, I've been lucky enough to play and compete in both and spend time in both.
Yeah, well,
I feel very, very grateful for those experiences.
I bet. But you're going to be at Augusta National for CBS.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I bet. This is the 90th playing. I mean, how do you prepare for all this?
You panic. because when the players go through 12, I'm normally done. I don't know what my position is this year, because sadly last year was Bern Lundqvist last year, and it was very emotional. Once again, the things away from the golf, because I grew up with like his voice.
Yes.
So for me, as a kid in New Zealand, hearing the voice, then meeting the man, then working alongside,
wow,
is one of the things that I'm really proud of, and got to know him as a friend. So it was sad for him to be calling his last Masters, and I think it'll be sad in some respects just going there this year, knowing that he's no longer on the call. I wish him well. He's probably on a boat somewhere. He and his wife, they love to go on cruises.
Lovely.
But yeah, you get in and you try and, my preparation will start in a few weeks, but you slowly put together, you know, where the game is, maybe things about players that might be more nuanced towards the Masters, whether it's their first, you know, a couple of young amateurs, that type of thing, the experience. Yeah. You still want to let the golf just stand for itself. You actually say less. It's a case of less is more at Augusta. But mistakes are bad. I remember the year it looked like Jordan Spieth was gonna win. He'd already won, and it was going to go for two in a row the year Danny Willett won. And I never thought, and it's really weird, I never thought that it would come down like the 12th hole, because there's so much more golf to come. And I remember when he was just making an absolute mess and made seven in the end, how it was unfolding. It was just something that I'd never thought was going to be possible. It was a huge lesson. And fortunately, Nick Faldo was the analyst that year, and I think he sort of felt it. And so he came in, and it was just a conversation. Ian Baker Finch jumped in, and it actually became a very good golf moment.
Mm.
But truthfully, it's because I wasn't prepared for that. So those are the things, you know, when you talk to people that have been broadcasting for years, they you hopefully all learn from those type of things. So now when I sit on my perch, I know that at any given moment, you know, especially on a Sunday, then that shot that you're watching on TV, just it might be the pivotal shot. But respect it too.
That's beautiful. When you said, the reason I laughed when you said I panic is because I think all broadcasters do before they're in the moment. And when you're in the moment, then everything, for some reason, starts making sense.
Yeah, well, that's the one similarity between golf and covering golf is always the same. I remember because locker rooms, they're alphabetical, so my surname starts with an N, so it was always close to Norman or Nicholas. And I remember being, you know, fairly young, and I was changing my shoes. I must have been a little perturbed, and Jack Nicholas, number one, I didn't even know he knew my name. He goes, "Frank, what's up, sort of thing?" And I'm like, I'm nervous. And as soon as I said it, I'm like, what an idiot. Why would I even say that? And he just said, isn't that great? You wouldn't want it any other way.
Yes.
And up until, I didn't think that the greatest players got nervous because I always got uptight, you know, when I was lacing my shoes or getting ready to go out to the range and warm up. And that's actually one of the things, that's the one thing I miss about playing is that feeling in the morning of being uneasy and excited at the same time.
Yes.
And TV actually gives you that. Well, it gives me that anyway.
Yeah. No, it's those moments where everything's on the line. You know what you're doing. We've got like, I don't know, 4 minutes, maybe. No, 3.5 minutes. But I wanted to ask you, we could talk for hours. Tiger Woods, do you think he'll play again on the tour or Augusta National in the Masters one day?
Yeah, I think he'll try. I remember getting criticized for a couple of years ago, and I just said, look, if you're really truthful, will he win again? And I'll say, and my answer was no. And people are like, how can you say that? And I'm going, because you know, we expect miracles from the man.
Yeah.
And I think if you're truthful, then if he were to win, that's how huge that would be. Honestly, I don't know anyone that would put themselves through what his body has gone through. Umpteen dozen surgeries in his back. I detailed my physical problems. They're not nearly as bad as what he's going through. I saw him at Genesis when he came in the supercar at CBS at Torrey Pines. It's like he has, you know, metal bars in his back to move. The fact that he can still swing and hit, but you know he's golf. A lot of the problems that we have now were hidden in the Tiger Woods era. You know, for example, they sold more advertising time. You know, when the numbers went up, the PGA Tour agreed the only way TV could pay for it was more commercials. So they used to have 12 minutes of commercials an hour. And when they signed off on these really big contracts, the first massive move because of Tiger Woods, the tour agreed to 18 minutes, which hasn't changed since. But people just live for what, you know, Tiger Woods literally did do something crazy every day. On the golf course.
Uh-huh.
And his dad said that. I always thought his dad was crazy when he said that, but he would hit a shot that people would talk about in the locker room. Forget on TV, but in the locker room, people say, just hear what he did. You hear what club he did. So to live and play some of that time, but then cover the rest of it, you know, I think we get greedy. We just want more because, you know, the smile.
Yep.
He just played golf differently to anyone I'd ever seen. So selfishly, yeah, we want him to play.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he just lost his mom and you know, he's lost both parents now. And I just don't know how he can do it. You know, I really don't know how you can put your body, continually try and put through and have another surgery and do that. So, yeah, he'll go to Augusta, I would imagine. He will at least try and he'll front up. He did last year.
Yep.
And it'll still be a big deal.
It's a big deal
because he still has, isn't, you know, great athletes just have that. I don't know, if you meet Michael Jordan or Tiger, they don't try and flaunt it. They just are. They just are different.
You know, I have to stop talking with you because my time is over. I have to not. We have to talk more often.
No, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Frank Nobilo, CBS Sports at Augusta next. And it's Aloha Power's Honda Generator Sale. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. We have specials in every size. Get $200 off. the Honda EU 2200 generators, and a free extended warranty. That's another $250. Go to the Aloha Power Equipment Room. They're open today. The only day they're closed is Sunday. The Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, health, and friendship, go golf. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks, shopping centers, and businesses, and hotels since 1939. Yeah, people can't find you if you don't have a sign. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2025.